Wisconsin has a strong agricultural history, also a very vibrant conservation ethic. And I think the two of those work in concert very well most of the time. Sometimes they don't, but mostly they do. And we're going to learn today about a great resource that's available to landowners who have wetlands. Tom Kraft is Assistant State Conservationist for the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service and works with the Environmental Quality Incentive Program. It's called EQIP. And Tom, great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, glad to be on, Larry.
This USDA Environmental Quality Incentive Program's EQIP, it has a lot of different aspects to it. First of all, maybe you could talk about how it came about.
Sure. The EQIP program has been available through several of the recent farm bills. It's probably NRCS's major program in the nation to work with landowners in addressing their resource needs and issues on farms, on forest land, range land, and even sensitive environmental areas.
This is really an attempt, I think, to strengthen the ties between agriculture and conservation.
It sure is. And as you mentioned, our state has a very rich history in land ethic and in conservation. And so we work with producers in every county throughout the entire state. And many individuals have worked and utilized this program in some manner. And it's very broad. We have a lot of different programs, but this program is based on our field staff working with local people, identifying the needs on their farm, and addressing it with a different conservation practice.
Mm-hmm. And we've been talking farm, but there are actually, you don't necessarily have to be a farmer to be qualified for this program.
That's true. You can be a landowner who has a woodland property, for instance, because they're managing that woods for tree production, which is considered a crop under USDA. You may be taking areas that were once cropland and maybe establishing a prairie or restoring some areas around wetlands. So the eligibility, and just briefly, the best thing to do is to work with our local offices to figure out your individual situation. But generally, if you're a landowner, a producer, someone who has interest in agriculture, is in the decision-making loop of the crops that are grown there, and again, very broad, could be cranberries, bee production, you would potentially be eligible for this program.
That's excellent. I want to give our listeners a chance to join in, by the way. You may be aware of the EQIP program, or maybe you want to know some more about it. What questions do you have relating to the USDA and conservation? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Or post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and you can post questions or comments there. We'd certainly love to hear from you. You mentioned bees, I think, and that's one of the programs. Let's talk a bit about that. How is that program? How does that program work?
Sure, EQIP is the base program that we use to develop these conservation contracts, for a better term, with producers. And essentially what we're doing is it's providing both technical or financial assistance with individuals to apply a practice. So over this past year, we had one of the first sign-ups dealing with habitat to benefit honeybees. Honeybees are very important to agriculture. They pollinate a lot of the different crops. As you probably are aware, Wisconsin leads the nation in cranberry production. Also important for our legumes that are growing in the farm fields, mm-hmm. for dairy. And what this bee pollinator effort was targeted was we were working with landowners to apply cover types that provide food and cover in a natural setting for honeybees. It also benefits many of our naturalized bees, too, as well. But, for instance, it would put into the mix of maybe just grass, it would put in forbs and different types of forbs, so throughout the year there'd be blooming that would be taking place.
So, and a lot of people could qualify for this program.
Yes. Yeah, so you have to, it obviously is more aimed at rural agricultural land situations. But again, the easiest way to determine that is to contact your local office.
Talking today with Tom Kraft, who is Assistant State Conservationist for the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. Great to have him along today to talk about the Environmental Quality Incentive Program. It's easier to say EQIP. That's the acronym for it, Environmental Quality Incentive Program. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Bob and Stevens Point up here with a question or comment. Bob, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is a really good subject. A couple years ago, the DOT, a different agency, they expanded Highway 10, and they ate up some wetlands, so they did a restoration. I have a small farm, and I've been a little bit skeptical about wetland restorations, but they restored 160 acres of potato field to wetland. Right now, there are swans, ducks, geese. It's a sea of wetland prairie plants, wildflowers. It's one of the nicest places in this part of Portage County. And if anybody wants to see it, it's east of Fleet Farm, about 2 miles from Stevens Point. And it really worked out nice. Congratulations, guys.
Oh, all right. Nice program. Now, it's not the same program that we're talking about here. And Katie Belfus, who's up next, probably to talk about wetlands, will probably have a little more to say about it. But Tom, comment?
Sure. Many of the practices that the EQIP program would provide assistance with could go in place on the surrounding cropland or farm areas of those existing wetlands that would protect them even further. So, for instance, a farmer could apply a cover crop. Cover crops have been a very successful part of the EQIP program of recent time. Those cover crops could follow their grain crop and provide some soil erosion control, and that in turn would reduce the sediments reaching the wetlands, again benefiting the wetland. There may be practices that they could apply, such as grass waterways, which would keep gullies or rills, soil erosion rills forming. It, again, would add silt or sediment to the wetland that you don't want to have entering that particular area. So we could see many of the different kinds of EQIP practices going in the surrounding lands that would benefit wetlands or other surface bodies of water, ponds, lakes, streams.
Excellent. Tom Kraft, Assistant State Conservationist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, our guest today. Call in at 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. As long as we're talking about water, and before we go back to the phones, I think another priority for the USDA's EQIP program is to protect the Great Lakes from phosphorus runoff. Talk about that program. It's a really interesting one.
Sure. We've had a lot of success working with agricultural producers over the past 3 years in the lower Fox River Basin, and in particular Brown and Outagamie counties, working with producers and applying these conservation practices, as we have mentioned, through EQIP. We're using funds that are the result of the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, a special initiative targeted for states that border the Great Lakes. And the main intent there is looking at the resource concern of excess nutrients within surface waters. So many of the practices going in place help reduce sediment particles that may be carrying attached phosphorus, or working in nutrient management, working with producers and how they apply fertilizers and manage their fields to reduce the phosphorus usage and runoff. And in particular, we're really, really excited about a program. We're working with the Great Lakes Commission in setting up some demonstration farms within those watersheds.
Excellent.
And on those farms, we plan to demo the latest technologies from grid high definition or high detail soil sampling to using different monitors on equipment, looking at crop yield and soil health.
It's amazing what can be done. I mean, with the technology that we have today, it's just unbelievable compared to 20 years ago. What can be done out there to minimize, not put on too much fertilizer, and to determine the situations regarding runoff lots of really good technology out there to help with that. Robin in Iola, your turn. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I just have a question for your guest about the funding from last year. I know they passed a new farm bill, and I was curious as to when that funding is going to be available for the farmers. I'm a hopeful recipient of some grant money to help me with my rotationally grazed pasture.
Okay.
Sure. Well, we have several programs that we've already begun as a result of the current and the new farm bill. And in fact, we have producers receiving their contracts. In other words, we're obligating those funds in some of our programs even as we speak. We should have quite a few of those contracts obligated by the end of this fiscal year, which ends in September. So we do have dollars going out the door to help with some of the practices as we speak. We are also looking at coordinating our sign up for next year, and we're asking people to come in to our offices prior to October 3rd and work with our field staff and identifying what their needs are and filling out an application if they need to.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's turn to Matt in Wausau next. Matt, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a quick question, and I'm kind of vague on this, and I'm driving, so I can't look anything up. But
okay.
The legislature passed in 2013, they passed Act 80, which somehow changed the way that counties and municipalities deal with shorelines. And I don't know if you're aware of this bill that passed or if you know anything about it or if you can maybe describe what changed and why it needed to be done, mm-hmm. I guess is my question.
Okay.
You're probably referring to maybe state legislation. The EQIP program is a federal program, and the two really aren't related. You have to looking at EQIP. It is a voluntary program. Mm-hmm. All of our programs through the Natural Resources Conservation Service are voluntary, so they're not statutory rules that are limiting things. These are programs that people sign up that are interested in taking advantage of this program to deal with land resource issues on their property.
Okay, there we go. Thanks a lot for calling, Matt. Dan in Fond du Lac, your turn. Hi, Dan. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I have a quick question. I have 80 acres that half of it is in woodland that we're looking at managing. The other half I haven't decided what to do with, whether to put it into pasture or cropland. Currently it is being unmanaged. And within the wetland program, I looked at that. This was not applicable because it wasn't row crops. Now, would that apply? Same rules apply with the EQIP?
There would be several different options, and we're speaking in general, obviously, because I'm
sure.
Not familiar with your particular property, but there would be several things that you probably could take advantage of. Starting with the woodland, we have assistance in looking at timber stand improvement. And mm-hmm. so there'd be a financial assistance to help you work with a forester and doing timber stand improvement. There's actually assistance in just doing a plan for your mm-hmm. woodland, just looking at what the structure of the trees are, if there's erosion, is there a need for controlling maybe erosion along an access road or how you go through the forest. We also have some assistance in providing control of some invasive species. We use brush management for that. And there's actually some new exciting practices that we're coming up with. Many of the EQIP program is used in several different initiatives, and probably you probably really need to go to our website to get a full appreciation for how wide and varied what the variety is. But essentially, in the northern part, we're looking at a young forest initiative where we're using EQIP funds to manage some different species of woodland. We kind of set them back, and those are beneficial to different species. For instance, the golden-winged warbler.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those neotropical birds rely on young forest cover type. And so through that initiative, we're actually working with a biologist or through your forestry plan to identify pockets within different cover types that could be set back that are beneficial beneficial to those birds. That's just one other example that you may be interested in.
All right. So there you go. And so, again, he would go, what's the, where, actually, we have on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, there's a link to your agency, but go ahead and give that address if you...
Sure. Well, you can find us on the web at wi.nrcs.usda.gov. You could just do a quick search on WINRCS, you'll find us. Once you get to our state webpage, there's a locator, and you can locate by choosing a map and your county that you live in, and it will identify our local office and who the contact individual is there. Our offices are set up so that we have a district conservationist that's responsible for each and every county within the state. And they and their staff of soil conservationists or conservation technicians would assist landowners with their questions and issues.
And that people would actually, like in Dan's case, if he qualified, somebody would probably come out, you know, depending, somebody might come out, an expert might come out and take a look at the property and say, all right, let's develop this plan together.
Sure. It depends on the scope of what their needs are and also the demand of the office. I mean, we have limited staff time. But yes, that is the idea. We generally like to begin what we call a conservation planning process. And that's where we actually would visit the land with a landowner or operator or farmer and look at what their issues are and walk the land and be able to do some inventory work of our own that help us understand what practices would benefit them. That's the best way to go about knowing what's available. A lot of people will look at our sites and maybe pick a practice. They'll see a stream crossing or they'll see the stream bank habitat improvement and we'll come in and it kind of starts that way. But in turn, we like to step back and actually
take
view
the bigger picture.
And see how it all fit together.
Sure. Makes good sense. Tom Kraft, our guest today, Assistant State Conservationist with the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. I'm Larry Mueller. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are learning about what resources are available through the USDA's Environmental Quality Incentive Program, or EQIP. The guest, Tom Kraft, who is state conservationist for the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. And callers online, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Julia in Buffalo County up next. Julia, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for the program. And thanks for having Tom Kraft on. I was just curious. We have the managed forest law. We've had it for several years. We started it, and I have found out through the Country Today. I'm not a big internet person, but they do post EQIP programs sometimes in the Country Today newspaper. But they are usually pretty close to the dates of the application deadline. I did apply for two programs. I applied for the wetlands program this summer in June and didn't hear anything back. I did call the county office, and I didn't really get any answers, but I did apply for another program just recently, the cover crop program.
Uh-huh.
And I called three times. She sent me a lot of good information, and we had a good talk on the phone. But they've never gotten back to me, and so I'm curious what happens to the applications once they're turned in and how are the recipients of this or any particular program chosen. And then also I have a feeling, because I, read in the newspaper once in a while, that I think our county is getting a little bogged down with the sand fracked mining issues here in our county. I know they are going to, from what I read, kind of separate a little bit in the land conservation office and stuff and then create a new position or whatever to help out with some of these things. And
some of those issues. Okay. All right, Tom Kraft?
Sure. Let me try to address a couple things for you. So in your process, when you said you apply for a program, let's say cover crops, essentially those applications are all taken, and at a certain point, there is a a cutoff where no more applications are taken. Then the office ranks those applications using some ranking criteria, and then identifies which applications from top to bottom should be funded. The next factor that's kind of limiting is actually how much we have in funds to put into contracts. The cover crop sign up for this year was just a huge success. This is the first time that we targeted just the cover crops as a single item sign up period, and we have more than $1 million probably at this point of unfunded applications. We've just used up our funds. Very successful, Larry. The offices may not be getting back to you right now and saying that you don't stand a chance anymore, because they're still probably waiting to see if any further funds could come into the state.
Oh, sure.
You know, when you get to the end of the federal fiscal year, if there's other states that didn't use some of their funds, Wisconsin has been very competitive in capturing some of those, so we still do some of those contracts. I'd just say this late, though, you're probably getting to the likelihood that your application wasn't one of the ones that was funded. All the earlier ones that would have been chosen from the top down, those producers should have been notified by now, and they could go forth and plant the cover crop. So I hope you try again. If you didn't make it this year, we definitely are interested in doing a similar sign-up for next year. You can... you'll probably get notice from the office to ask you if you want to continue your existing application. That's one of the things we do with the applications we don't fund. And I hope that you encourage you to keep trying it. It is sometimes disappointing from us and of our field staff when we run out of funds and there's still so much good work to do.
Yeah.
I have one question. I'm just wondering how do they choose so many from each county? Or once they receive it, I'm just wondering if mine, you know, how do I know it actually got turned in? Is there like a central office after you turn it into your county that it goes into, or?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Your district conservationist in Buffalo County should be able to give him a call, and he will be able to work with you and tell you where your application ranked, and maybe some things that you need to that you could do to improve the score of that application. And he would understand and know all those numbers, in particular for Buffalo County.
All right. There we go. Thanks a lot for calling, Julie. Appreciate it. Larry in Barron County, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yes. Good morning or good afternoon. Yeah, I live in Barron County, the Sioux Creek Township, and I have just a small 14 acres. I was asking, is there a minimum of acreage a person could sign up for? I'd like to do something with this. It's right along the Red Cedar River.
Okay.
Sure. Many of our programs do not have an acreage limitation. And the reason why we don't is because every situation is a little bit different. For instance, one of the things that individuals can sign up for is a hoop house. You might have heard of these before, but
sure.
Basically, you know, they're like a sort of a greenhouse, but they don't have the... they're not to the same extent that greenhouses are, but it's a temporary plastic-covered aluminum structure that helps with vegetables production. Well, obviously, that's a very small scale.
Yeah.
So very small size. So in that case, a hoop house is going on a half an acre or less.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, you know, a five-acre farm cropland area that you've been raising vegetables and are interested in applying for a hoop house, you would be eligible. So it really depends more on what the land use is. Is it capable of producing an agricultural crop? Have you been producing a crop? And as well as, do you have the interest yourself? As far when I say interest, your decision-making, you're involved in the management of that land. That's more important than the actual size.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. And John in Coon Valley. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Larry and Tom, for taking my call. Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to first make a comment to anybody listening to take the time to sign up for these programs, because there is a lot of money out there for people, and many of us farmers can't afford to do some of these projects without some cost sharing, especially EQIP. I, on my farm, have done fencing. I've done stream work, and now I'm working on a program to how in regard to how I cut my hay to reduce wildlife loss. My one question is, I'm wondering if on the paperwork end, if some of this paperwork could be streamlined more. It seems like there's an obscene amount of paperwork for some of these programs. Just wondering what your comments are, Tom.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm really with you on that. I wish we could. The reality of it is the agency and the dollars entrusted to it also brings about all the potential auditing and reviews and documentation that has to be done. And so as our agency's grown with the capability of providing financial assistance to producers like yourself, we've also had to grow in the amount of quote-unquote paperwork to make it work. And we really can feel for you there. Ourselves, we have to deal with that, and we keep working on it. But it's not something that we can just deal with overnight.
Yeah.
I would like to point out, Larry, is if he's from Coon Valley, that is the birthplace of conservation. That is mm-hmm. where some of the first watershed level efforts were done and actually helped create our agency, the beginning years of the Soil Erosion Service, and then later the Soil Conservation Service, and now the Natural Resources Conservation Service. And the farmers in that Coon Valley have a long, rich history. Many of the conservation strips and altering grain and grass mm-hmm. and hay strips are still in place today, and that's the rich history.
Kind of fun driving through that area of the country. It's really beautiful to see that strip cropping the way it's done.
Yeah, in fact, the most interesting thing is when you can do it from the air.
Yeah.
It really, really jumps out the pattern of agricultural network.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. Yeah. Had an email from Bill in Wausau. It says, we've been working with the Wausau office of the NRCS ASCS for the last several years to help with buckthorn removal. Nothing but appreciation and high praise for the staff. Amy and Brian, the local staff, have been very helpful throughout. The downside is buckthorn removal is an expensive proposition if one is unable to do it yourself, and the level of reimbursement for costs will cover maybe a quarter to a third of the cost of the initial phase, and this will never be a never-ending project, seemingly. Nevertheless, the financial help is appreciated, and the professional help even more so.
Yeah, Larry, he's pointing out two important parts. One, there is technical assistance, which is basically just our individuals in the field that are trained and have knowledge of working in natural resources. And they also have access to specialists throughout the state. So, for instance, you may have a producer that is trying to improve the grazing of a particular field. And there has been some invasive growth from some mm-hmm. shrubbery that's come into it from nearby forests or something. And so referring to one of the practices, brush management, we can help remove some of that, as well as we can help maybe reestablish a productive and a better grass base. And that itself helps compete out mm-hmm. some of the weeds and shrubs. So there's both technical as well as financial. And one other key point is this is a very wise use of the taxpayers' funds. We're providing an incentive in helping establish some of these practices and reduce some of the risk that farmers may or landowners need to accomplish this, but it is by no means 100%.
Sure.
They're paying a fair share and stake in this and time involvement. So it is an incentive, but it doesn't pay for all the issues that they're dealing
that
with.
That come up with, yeah, sure. Tom in Janesville up next. Tom, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello. I was wondering if you could talk about the PACE program at all. I'm on the Rock County Board and on the Land Conservation Committee. And from what I understand, at one point in time, when agriculture land was sold for development, they have to pay kind of like an excise tax or whatever. And that went into a fund to buy the development rights for agricultural land. And we've been doing that quite extensively in Rock County. The transmission line came through Rock County, and there was a pot of money there that we used to buy the development rights. Rock County's got some of the best agriculture land in the state, and we've been trying to preserve it. Our money's dried up, and you think that, from what I understand, that money that was coming in, the realtors and the WMC convince the governor to spend the money on something else versus a PACE program. Do you think that that could ever be funded again, or what are your thoughts on that?
Sure. That's again, a little bit out of my league. It's more of a state-run program. I'm really only capable of addressing some of the federal programs. We do have a federal program now. It's not EQIP. It's another program. We call it ACEP, A-C-E-P, and it is an agricultural conservation easement program. And in that easement program, we can help match different groups to help purchase easements that protect farmland. And we've used this program on a limited basis throughout the state. And it is a match that we're helping buy those rights to preserve that land and keep it in agricultural production.
There we go. Thanks a lot for that call. We have Jay in Fall River shot us an email. As a friend living in southwest Wisconsin, land used to be mostly pine. After tornadoes, it's now bare, dirt and bluffs. He's trying to replant trees, but gets stymied by rains causing mudslides, moving the dirt around. I'm thinking that he needs to plant grasses first to help hold the dirt. The EQIP program is intriguing. Are there plantings or some way that he might be assisted, even honeybee production, you know, something to stabilize the land?
Sure, definitely. In fact, we have several practices that would be right down the alley of the issues that were just described. One practice is called conservation cover, which would help establish the appropriate cover on that land and protect it. We do have a tree planting practice, mm-hmm. which would assist in the establishment of trees. And from describing the situation, there may be some areas that are even more severe where the water is collecting and flowing in a concentrated manner. And that's with those velocities, you can have a lot of erosion. And we would have practices that could help mitigate the mm-hmm. that water as it runs down the hill.
So where, and again, just to kind of repeat what we've been talking about, where do you go to get that information to apply and so forth?
Sure. As I mentioned before, if you do have access to the web, would be to look at the website and explore some of the different programs. Again, there's so many and they're so diverse that if you're not sure, contact that local office directly. Ask to speak to a district conservationist with the Natural Resources Conservation Service. And in many cases, they're very familiar with their counties and could give you an idea of maybe some ideas right over the phone.
Yeah, we have a link on my Facebook page, but it's
wi.nrcs.usda.gov.
Okay, wi.nrcs probably gets you there, too, to begin with. Yeah,
a search gets us really close.
You know, there's a program, I think, too, that's really interesting to me, which was to help farmers go from standard agriculture to organic agriculture, and wonder what's the genesis of that program. And
sure. Within the EQIP program, there's, as I mentioned, there's several different initiatives or subparts where the funds are targeted either on a geographical basis, as you mentioned, the Great Lakes Initiative earlier. There's also some funds targeted for the type of farm and farm settings because they're unique and different. And we have a lot of organic operations within the state. And we've had some funds targeted for just organic producers, individuals that are seeking to become organic certified, as well as producers that have already received that certification and working with on their operations. And when we do so, we make sure that the practices we're applying maintain that certification or assist with it. We also have an on-farm energy planning. It's called Ag EMP.
That's another good one. I really like how that one's set. We'll talk about that a bit.
Sure. It kind of assesses the energy use on a farming operation, and it helps the assistance helps pay for that plan to identify ways that can conserve energy on a different farm operation. And that's really important when you're looking at some of the lighting and electrical motors and energy use on the farm.
So, again, it's not only farmers necessarily who can be applying for these programs.
Correct. for instance, the comment of the individual who owned the pine woodland area with the blowdown that took place there. He may not be a farmer at all, but since he owns wooded land that and he's the owner, then that would meet that requirement.
And how successful? Have you got some ideas? Have we had some successes that we can point to in this EQIP program?
Well, it covers like the entire state, so there's numerous ones. In fact, we actually profile some farms on our website that you can go and look at and read about individual farm and landowners. But there's just many of them, almost too many to mention. But we've worked with producers to say, for instance, a dairy farm where they're looking at putting in storage to manage the animal waste. And so we assist them with how keeping clean water clean, we call it. In other words, putting gutters on the barns and taking water that would normally run through the barnyard and add to the amount of volume of liquid manure that you deal with. It would keep it clean, takes another direction. Then we put in a catchment and maybe take that runoff from that barnyard and put it into a pit where it can be stored and then applied to the fields at the appropriate time of the year. So looking at timing and management, we have many successes of helping with those resource issues on those farms. And that can be very complex because you're looking at, you know, years away the farm has been built, the location, maybe things have been added on. And so you're looking at a lot of engineering work in a case like that.
Well, I think we had a really good program here. It's great to know that we've got a successful incentive program out there, the USDA's Environmental Quality Incentives Program, EQIP, it's called. And Tom, thank you so much for coming by and talking with us about it today. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Really enjoyed your show. I usually am listening to it as I'm going about the state, so...
Well, I appreciate it, and I hope we have a chance to talk with you again. It would really be fun to do that because we didn't get in. I mean, there were a lot of programs that we never even got around to discussing, and that's another reason, I think, for people to get online or to contact the local office and the Natural Resources Conservation Service office and find out more. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Tom Kraft is Assistant State Conservationist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service. Great to have him along, and we will have him back for sure, and we'll do this again. I know it's always good to be able to talk about innovative programs that are out there that provide help and support for people who want to do a good work and be good stewards of nature. We're going to continue that thread because coming up next, we're going to learn about a great new resource for landowners who have wetlands on their property. Katie Belfus from the Wisconsin Wetlands Association is with us. So I hope you'll stay tuned. Katie Belfus coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.